At Cool Air Products, we developed AC Smart Seal Quick Shot with professionals in mind. It's the only product on the market that's 3-in-1, with sealant, lubricant, and UV dye all in a single application. It's non-toxic, non-flammable, 100% safe to the touch, eco-friendly, and compatible with all refrigerants. It's a safe solution option, backed by years of R&D, Intertech tested, and has sealed millions of leaks. AC Smart Seal, the professional's choice.
Welcome back to the podcast, HVAC and refrigeration people. Now, even if you're a plumber or electrician, we still accept you. We won't discriminate. You can still listen along with us. Anyway, guys, listen, leadership. What is a leader? What is a boss? We're going to talk about boss versus leader and the traits that you must possess or work on to be a leader, right? A boss can sit in a corner office on a pedestal and bark orders, but not necessarily be a leader. You know what I mean? So we're going to talk about this on this podcast, the differences and what it takes to be a leader. And we got Tony first, and we got Anish Sethesh Arul from Armstrong Fluid Technologies. And we're going to talk about boss versus leader. It's coming up right now, guys. This is the HVAC Know It All podcast. I'm your host, Gary McCready. This podcast is sponsored by Master, and guys, at their main facility in Vaughan, Ontario, they have a hydronics lab that's newly built, newly set up. If you guys are looking for commercial or residential type hydronics training, they got a couple of walls set up and they have that training available. You just got to reach out to your local sales rep, maybe someone at the branch, and see what training dates are available for hydronics. Check out master.ca. This podcast is sponsored by Cintas. They are going to provide blue-collar uniforms to the blue-collar trades, keep you warm in the winter, keep you cool in the summer, with different variations of different types of uniforms, t-shirts, button-ups, pants, vests, jackets, all of that, guys. If you guys are looking to upgrade or change uniform suppliers, check out cintas.com/HVAC know-it-all.
Welcome to the HVAC Know-It-All Podcast. Recorded from a basement somewhere in Toronto, Canada. Your host and HVAC tech, Gary McCready, will take you on a deep dive into the industry, discussing all things HVAC. From storytelling to technical discussion. Enjoy the show.
Okay, guys, we're talking about leadership. Tony, welcome back. Anish, welcome back. Listen, I guess I'm going to have to pull out my leadership skills to lead the conversation today as the podcast host, but we're going to talk about leadership. We're going to get Anish's perspective. We're going to get Tony's perspective and mine. And Anish, like, you work on Tony's team. How long have you been with Tony and his team at this point in time?
So I've been with Armstrong for about 4 years now, and I think with Tony directly as my manager, is it coming up on 3 years, right, Tony?
Yes, I believe 3 years.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And how, like, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you now at this point in your life?
Myself.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm 27 as of right now.
Okay. And I mean, to me, and probably even more so to Tony, because Tony's older than I am. I'm not saying you're old, Tony. I'm just putting the steps together here for the conversation. But you're still a young guy, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, because I'm in my mid 40s almost, right? I'll be 45 in a few months. And to me, at 27, I don't even know if I knew what leadership really was at that point. I'm just being honest with you, and I'm starting to understand what a true leader is, and I've seen so many sort of images and memes and stuff like that, and one of them that really comes to mind, I think it was a pack of wolves, or it was animals that travel in packs, right? And it showed that the leader being at the front, or the boss, or the dictator, or whoever it was, being at the front of the pack. But then the next picture was like, a true leader goes at the back of the pack to make sure everybody moves along at the right pace and nobody's left behind. And that spoke volumes to me when I seen that, just that visual. Tony, what do you think of that visual of the leader being at the back and just making sure everybody
is up to speed and not left behind.
Well, and Gary, that's really one of the hallmarks of being a leader. You know, there's a difference. There's, you know, you can be a leader or you can be a boss. And the boss, and in my view of the boss, is the guy who is at the top of the food chain and he's cracking the whip and continuously and constantly demanding that his, you know, that all his subordinates do what he tells them to do. You know, it's, I want you to do this. I need you to do this. I demand that you do this. Whereas the leader is sitting back and going, no, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to accomplish. This is how we are going to work together. And it's being able to look at the entire team and go, okay, what's your opinion? How do you think? What do you view as, you know, the things we need to do? And be willing to accept all of those ideas and figure out, wow, there are other ways to get this done. You know, if I look at leadership, first of all, you don't have to be the boss to be the leader. Okay, that's the first thing. Let's clear that up right now.
That could be a whole other rabbit hole right there.
Exactly. But there are four really key principles, guiding principles, thought processes, qualities, whatever you want to call them, to being an effective leader. Okay, the first one's wisdom. Okay, now when I look at wisdom, wisdom doesn't mean being smart. Okay, wisdom is not intelligence. Wisdom is completely different than intelligence. Wisdom is being able to consciously or unconsciously look at everything around us and assess what is known, assess the situation, assess the unknown, weigh all those risks, weigh the rewards, and figure out what the best pathway is. Okay? So that's what wisdom is. Okay? It's being able to look at things in a big picture. The next one's perspective. And you got to be able to look at things in perspective and understand the context in which you're leading. Okay? So, you know, I manage a team. And so, you know, I have a lot of things I got to think about. You know, Anish, when I'm gone, Anish is in charge of the team. So he has to look at the perspective of how we're managing the team, how we're getting things done. So that you're finding an order to everything that's going on in your process. Okay. So that you kind of unify everything and bring it all together and make it make sense. The next quality, and this is one that is really, really, really important to being a leader, and that's having humility. It's not about me. It's about my team and about the guys I work with. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's my team that directly works for me or our entire U.S. sales team. I'm here to support them. I'm here to serve them. And it's not about me. I'm here to work to make sure we all succeed because we all succeed together. Yeah. And so that's what, you know, that's the humility part of it. You got to be in this for the greater good. The last quality is courage. And when I say that is, so you got the courage to speak up for what you believe in. You've got the courage to defend those around you. As Anish will tell you, I defend my team all the time. Not that they're doing anything wrong, but I support my team. I defend my team with all my heart and with all my soul. And those four keys are kind of what drives things, you know, and having courage also means that you can speak up for other people if they're not capable, if they're, you know, not everybody is, I mean, as Anish will tell you, I'm pretty vocal and, I'm not afraid to speak my mind and say what I think. But not everybody that we work with, that we come in contact with, is able to speak as eloquently or as openly or as freely as I can. So as a leader, you have to be able to have that courage to speak for those who are maybe a little bit shy. Maybe they're a little bit more reserved. Maybe they just don't know how to get the words out or put them into the right context. So being that courageous leader, you're going to help pull that out and figure out what they want to say.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I've sat in multiple service meetings when I worked at my former company, and they'd go around the table and ask if anybody had something to say. And I would be on a job with somebody like the previous week, and I'd be like, hey, you learned something today. That's cool. Like, and you could tell that they were happy and proud of themselves for learning and achieving something with me on a job. And when it came to them to speak, they're like, no, I got nothing to say. And I'd be like, well, wait a minute. What happened last week? Like, don't be afraid and don't be shy to talk about an achievement that you made or a hurdle you overcame in your professional career. Tell us about it and we can talk. You might even learn something else and get another perspective of what happened from another person within the room. So I know what you're saying about knowing what other people are thinking and trying to maybe say or too shy to say and get them to be vocal about it. So Anish, let's get your thoughts on this. And I want to speak about a term called multiple futures. This was a video I watched a few years ago. And this is another one that hit home with me about how to make decisions as a leader. But Anish, let me get your thoughts on what Tony was saying. Wisdom, perspective, humility, courage. I wrote all those down because I would never remember all of that. But what are your thoughts on this, Anish?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tony hit the nail on the head there, right? Like, having those four traits is extremely important to be an effective leader. I think there are caveats to it, obviously, right? So for example, right, in terms of courage, it is important to speak out, but I think it's also important to always understand when it may not be the most pertinent to speak up, right? So having the courage to speak up means, as you mentioned, Gary, you know, if you have something to share, being willing to talk about it, but you also want to make sure that you're not burning bridges along the way, mm-hmm. right? Being an effective leader also means that you pick your battles as effectively as possible, right? So on occasion, even if you are right, I feel like being an effective leader means that you might have to take a step back and say, all right, I'm conceding on X, Y, and Z just because it's not at the top most of my priority list right now. I think the other thing that Tony discussed in terms of perspective was pretty important. When we look at, you know, creating a culture of feedback, that's a huge thing in terms of being an effective leader, right? As Tony mentioned, and Tony also says this on a day-to-day basis, you don't have to be the smartest person to be a leader, right? So you would actually want to fill your team with individuals who are most likely smarter than you or more talented than you in different ways, right? You're filling the gaps in your own expertise. And I think by doing that, building that culture of feedback is extremely important. I think a lot of individuals in leadership positions see it as a sign of weakness to ask for feedback for their team. Mm-hmm. And as we start seeing, you know, more of a progression in things like 360 feedback and you know, more organizational levels of leadership feedback in general and individual feedback, I think it's starting to really develop that relationship between the employee and the leader. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So I it's funny, I just watched a video like literally like 15 minutes before I got on with you guys. And it was from, I don't know if you guys know who Eric Ani is from Mechanical Hub. He's a big plumber. He's largely on social media and many different platforms and stuff like that. Good guy. And he was just working and it was focused on him pulling a cap off something and cleaning it. And the background was commentary that he must have pulled from somewhere, right? And it was the lion, it was a tiger, I believe, and a donkey. And I want to get your thoughts on this, Tony, and we can come to you after Anish. And the story kind of went like this. The lion was just sitting back, and the tiger came to him and said, "Hey, is the grass blue or green?" Right? And the donkey's like, it's blue. And the tiger's like, no, it's green. And the tiger ended up getting punished for having this argument. And the tiger's like, the grass is green, lion. Like, why did I get punished for this, for being right? And he's like, you're not punished for being right. You're punished for arguing with a donkey. We know the grass is green. He thinks it's blue. You're punished for arguing with somebody that is perhaps being negative, perhaps not taking into account the facts that are laid in front of them and still arguing, even though they're proved to be wrong. It's like the situation of sitting in a boardroom and you lay the facts out in front of somebody, and even though you might be right and they're wrong, continuing to argue with them, right? And that's why the tiger got punished, because he was right, but he argued with a donkey and he wasted the lion's time for bringing this argument to him, right? There's an analogy there that you can put forth to any part of your life, really. So, Tony, what do you think about that sort of little story?
Wise Hire is a platform that was designed to help you find candidates for your skilled trades business, whether it be a dispatcher, whether it be a helper, or a seasoned technician. So if you're looking for people, and we all need to fill roles in our blue-collar businesses, right? And if we're looking for people and you can't find them, you haven't tried Wise Hire yet, check out wisehire.com, because that's what it's built to do, to help you find the right candidates. Chirp is a platform that's deeply integrated into all the major CRM tools like Jobber, Housecall Pro, ServiceTitan, and you can create campaigns that are automated that go out to your customer base. Like, for example, you can create one called IAQ Solutions or Indoor Air Quality Solutions and send that out to your customer base. So in the shoulder seasons, we can tell them what sort of IAQ products we offer, humidification, filtration, ventilation, stuff like that. And we can maybe get them in line to purchase something that they may need for their home. So check out chirp.com, guys, if you're looking to automate some campaigns to generate more work within your skilled trades business. So the TradeFox program by SUPCO was developed out of technicians inventing tools and not having a way to bring them to market, not having the capital funds for R&D and manufacturing, and know how to distribute the tools around North America, the world, whatever, so people can actually purchase them. So that's why SUPCO created the TradeFox brand. They're taking ideas in. If you have an idea, a prototype, a drawing, whatever it may be, and you think it could be a hit, and you want to work with SUPCO and gain some passive income, you can do so if it all works out. The website is supcotradefox.com. Go to supcotradefox.com, and I think there's maybe a little thing to fill out, and they'll get back to you, and you guys can discuss. So check that out, guys.
I agree with it. And what you have to look at is, Anish made the comment, you have to learn to pick your battles.
Yeah.
And, you know, I deal with this quite a bit. You know, I have people above me on the food chain, and I know when to go to battle with them. I know when to argue with them, when it's important that I state my position and fight for a certain thing. Okay. And you know, it's all about understanding your priorities and being able to take all of these things. And that's part of that, you know, the part of the things, you know, I talked about wisdom and all, and perspective and all that. It's having that wisdom, having that perspective to figure out what things are important and what things aren't important, you know, and things that make a difference and that I'm going to have, you know, that's really going to bring value to the organization or to the team. And those are the kind of things that you got to understand how to argue for or how to lobby for. And we say argue, and argue is not necessarily the right word.
Debate, maybe.
Debate, yes. And if you know that you've got a certain manager or a certain, you know, boss that you report to or a leader that you report to, that they've made up their mind and this, you know, they've said, no, this is the way we're going to do this, and they're not willing to listen to reason, You just have to go, okay, are you absolutely sure? I've got some other thoughts that might change your perspective. And if they go, nope, this is the way I want to do it, you go, okay, and you move on. Mm-hmm. But it's being able to have that opening discussion and kind of get an idea where they're at, so you can make an intelligent decision and decide, okay, do I want to go forward with this argument, or do I just want to walk away from it?
You know, and also I think just to add on to that, Tony, I think, you know, going back to humility too, understanding that when it's an individual, for example, that's potentially a manager or just someone who has more expertise in this particular field, might be that they have additional perspective that you may not be seeing, right? So although you in that state of mind believe that you may be 100% correct with the decision, you may be lacking some severe pieces of information that you that may not be portrayed
correct.
To you.
Mm-hmm.
So
correct. And this is part of that information gathering and you know, gaining the wisdom. You know, if you remember, I said wisdom is the known and the unknown. Well, you don't know what the unknown is because you don't know what you don't know, but it's having the wisdom to figure it out, to seek out what you don't know, to fill in all the missing pieces so you can truly make informed, intelligent decisions. But it's also having the courage and the foresight and the wisdom to release control when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have no problem giving up control and letting those on my team lead the way. We do it on a regular basis. And depending on what we're talking about, what we're doing, you know, there are things I'm really good at, but there are things that Anish is far superior to me on. You know, we have, you know, several other members of our team, you know, John, who you've met, Mahek, who you've met, you know, one of John's areas that he is just an absolute wizard on is psychrometrics and the properties of air.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm pretty good on psychrometrics, but John blows me out of the water. John is just absolutely incredible. And I have no problem deferring to John going, here, this is your bailiwick, dude.
So let me ask you this then. And generally speaking, yeah, I understand that giving up control to somebody that is on your team where you're normally in control, because a lot of people have problems giving up control. Mm-hmm. I'm one of them. I'm going to admit that. Like, I have a hard time saying, hey, you go do this, and giving up control until I've developed a level of trust. Now, is it before you give up control? There's people listening here and going, okay, so how do I give up control? Because I have this thing where I want to be in control all the time and I don't trust others and so on and so forth. There's ways to tackle that. And I think it's in baby steps. Like, here's a task, perform the task, come back to me and show me the task is done. And if the task is done right, it's complete and all that, great job. Now I have a certain level of trust. Next time I'm going to give you a task that has a little bit more, moving parts to it, and you're going to complete that one. So is it, there might be people that do it that way. There might be people that say, you know what, you seem like you got this under control, go do this large project and come back to me. What do you think the best way? And Anish, I can start with you, because I mean, there's many ways I think to do this and give up control, but do you think the baby step route is best so you can develop a slow level of trust? Or are you in the mind that if you kind of think that person is right for it, just take it and go with it?
Yeah, I think it there's a lot of factors involved when we were discussing that, right? I mean, at the end of the day, people can't really build your trust unless you give them an avenue to do so. But at the same time, it's dependent on the actual situation or circumstance that you're looking at. If it's something where you're going to be working with an individual and a team for a long period of time, let's say they're going to, you know, assist you on site with whatever you may need to do, in that perspective, working on baby steps makes sense, because you have to build that longevity of trust and you have that timeline to do so. If it's, for example, like an agile team where you've literally compiled experts together to work on a massive project that needs to be done ASAP, that's a little bit of a different story, right? You kind of assume that you've already taken individuals with specific expertise into place, and that you should essentially be deferring to their expertise on X, Y, and Z. So I think there's a lot of different factors involved with it. I think the baby steps is a generally good approach when you're presented with an individual with an unknown set of skills who you potentially haven't worked with before. You know, if there's no trust there whatsoever, but obviously it builds up from there, right?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Tony, I'm going to tell you a little story and I'm going to get your thoughts on it. And this, I think this was a Tony Robbins video. May have been. And I think he was on stage with some people and they were talking. It may have been Tony Robbins, but it wasn't him that said this. But it was. I was on a rabbit hole watching his videos a few years back because I just found some of the stuff he was doing and saying was highly motivational and for many different reasons. But anyway, this one guy is sitting on stage and he's saying, to be successful, having an ability to see multiple futures, like basically different, like have a vision and it parallels off into basically different universes, right? And the thought process behind this is like, okay, if I'm going to go, let's put this into a mechanical thing for the audience. If I'm going to go up to this big makeup air unit and I am going to adjust this valve, or I'm going to adjust this damper, or I'm going to shut it off for some reason, if it's for a lab or whatever it is, What are the things that may happen? Okay, someone might get pissed off and come on the roof and yell at me for adjusting it. I may have fixed it. I may have made the problem a little bit worse and create problems or service calls down the road because now I've created a chronic problem that one little adjustment made. So having the ability to see the different sort of avenues or futures in front of you, I think is really important. And I think that comes through time and experience. Maybe like, I mean, they're CEOs of multi-million dollar companies in their 20s. So maybe they've got this ability at a young age. But I found that very profound to see these multiple futures. And I saw this at one point in my career where we had to have this type of certification to work in certain instances. And I approached a manager at one point in my career, and he keeps snuffing me off. We don't need it. And I saw these multiple futures in front of me. I'm like, okay, well, somebody's going to get in shit one day. We're going to get kicked out of job sites or buildings and so on and so forth. And this prolonged for a few years. And finally, we got kicked out of a job site. And then we all had to scramble and all get this certification. But it was brought to the forefront years beforehand. So this multiple futures thing, or these sort of different avenues, being able to visualize them, how important is that when you're a leader?
So, Gary, I think it's extremely important. And if you think about being a service guy, so let's, you know, I mean, I know, you know, your podcast reaches just thousands of service people. So think about being a service guy. As you're driving to a service call, what are you thinking about?
Are you asking me?
No. This is kind of rhetorical here.
All right. Okay.
You know, what are you thinking about as you're driving down the highway, going from one call to the next? Well, you might be thinking about where to stop for lunch, depending on what time of day it is. You might be thinking, I need to stop and get a haircut. Yeah. Well, I don't have any hair, so, you know, I don't think about that too much. But most of the time, you're thinking, okay, this is a report of no heat, no cooling, you know, it's noisy, you know, whatever the complaint is. And you start running through your head different scenarios about what could be wrong. Now, maybe if you've got an apprentice with you, part of your leadership skill is going to come out while you're doing this. And as you're driving down the road, you're going to talk to the apprentice that you've got with you about the different scenarios that are going through your head. It's all about, you know, being a leader doesn't mean that you're the boss. It means that you're that trusted advisor. Same thing happens. You get to the site and you go look at the unit and you find out what's wrong. Now you're going to go talk to your customer. and your customer values you as a leader because they know you're going to do the right thing and they're going to listen to what you're telling them. And so, you know, you're always carrying these leadership qualities with you, regardless of what you're doing. And so you kind of have to, you know, you're always doing this in your head. And in every situation I get into, some it's easier, some I just know what I need to do. And others I need to think about. I need to think about the way to deal with this. Anish and I talk quite a bit. Usually once a day, maybe every other day, depending on what's going on and where I'm at and what's, you know, what's going on in my world. But a lot of times we talk about, okay, here's a situation. What do you think? What do I think? And sometimes we do what I think, sometimes we do what he thinks, and sometimes we blend the two together to come up with a better solution. It's about being able to talk. And I do this not with just Anish, but I do it with the rest of my team. I do it with John. I do it with Mahek. I do it with Jonathan. And we talk about things. We figure out what, you know, how we're going to handle a situation, how we're going to move it forward. Because it's not about me. It's not about me making all the decisions. It's about me gathering information, gathering input from my team, and then figuring out what the right thing to do is. And that's the key.
So totally, I just wanted to say, like, you touched on something important there. So Gary, to your point with seeing multiple futures, I do think that's an important trait to have as a good leader, but it has to also be paired with decisive decision-making, right? Because I think a lot of situations, a lot of individuals have that capability to view multiple futures, but they get stuck by analysis paralysis.
Yeah,
and nothing ever gets done and no changes actually ever happen. So being, you know, effective, you talked about CEOs in their 20s, right? I think that the two main traits of that is decisiveness, but also building a higher risk tolerance. And I think a lot of good leaders have that higher risk tolerance because, I mean, if you look at a lot of traits that good leaders have, they always start from somewhere that initially was difficult, right? So for your perspective initially this morning when you said, the individuals who don't really want to speak up in meetings or, you know, fear sharing their experiences, that's because they view themselves as sharing and talking as taking a bigger risk than, you know, staying quiet and not saying anything, right? But that can impede them in multiple different avenues. They can abate them from having difficult conversations, which is another trait that a leader has to have. It can prevent them from making decisions, so on and so forth. So I think the two big things is, you know, decision making, but also like risk tolerance, like building that risk tolerance in small ways, but eventually leading up to bigger decisions.
That is a very good point, is being decisive, because you could have somebody that's hemming and hawing over what to do. And while we're thinking about what to do, shit's hitting the fan. Like literally it's maybe not literally, but you know what I mean? Shit is hitting the fan and things are falling apart. And we're sitting over here waiting for a decision. Like, what are we doing? Someone has to step up. And I have seen it where somebody lower down on the ladder says, you know what? I'm going to step in and do something here because no one else is. And they've made, and what you said, there's a risk factor involved, and they've built up the courage to take a risk, possibly doing something wrong, possibly getting in trouble by their superior or a customer or whoever it might be. But they've stepped up, they've done something, and it worked. And now that person is hailed as the hero because they, in their mind, are like, you know what? This is not going to go anywhere by everybody standing around, huddling and talking. I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to get it done. I might screw up, but I may learn from it, but I might be right. And if I'm right, guess what? Everybody's going to be patting me on the back because I went and did something about this. So that's a very good point. Being decisive and having the courage to step up and being decisive in the first place. So good point, Anish. Really good point.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, you want to take feedback from your team, but you also have to be able to look at it and go, okay, I've listened to all you guys and I still think this is the best way to go forward. Or look, I've had to make this decision. This is how we're going to do this. Because in looking at everything and knowing where we got to end up and knowing some other things that, that the team may not be aware of, this is the route we got to go. So you got to be willing to make those decisions. And sometimes those decisions suck. I'm not going to tell you they don't. Sometimes being that leader, you have to make decisions that aren't necessarily going to be popular. And part of it is having the courage to go, yep, I know this isn't going to be fun, but it's what we got to do.
Yeah. So you know what? This is, maybe we should talk about this for a few minutes, because this, you said decisions that are not popular, and that's a major one. Really, it is, because you could have somebody on your team that is slacking off, that maybe you've hired, maybe someone else has hired and put on your team, and they're just not pulling their weight. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes people get caught up in life and they get behind. They're struggling a little bit. They're trying, but they're struggling. And it's not because they don't want to. It's because they're just struggling. And yeah, that happens to everybody. But there's some people that will not or do not want it to help, even though they're hired on a team and they're part of a team. Like, I've had apprentices that I'm like, why are you here? Like, this is the fourth or fifth or sixth time I've worked with you, and you're still doing the same things I told you not to do the first time I worked with you. At what point do we say, listen, we have to cut our losses. Sorry, we can't have you on the team. You're a liability. Right? That is one of the toughest decisions a team leader has to make. And it's not easy for someone to do so. Anish, we'll start with you on that. What is the best way to cut your losses? And Gary Vee always says this. I believe it was him that says this. Fire as quick as you hire, right? Because if you don't, and you are dealing with someone that's the weakest link on your team, and you leave them there to be the weakest link for months or years, and they're not pulling their weight, it's going to drag everybody down. It's going to cause chaos, headbutting. You know what I mean? There's going to be problems. So what do you think about being decisive on getting rid of somebody that's not pulling their weight quickly?
Yeah, I think you have to be in a lot of situations. I mean, not to say that you don't give individuals the opportunity to prove themselves, right? I think going back to your point, there might be X, Y, and Z going on in their lives right now that you may not be privy to or aware of. But it goes back to having that difficult conversation, right? It's a conversation that needs to happen as early as possible to identify what factors exist, set them up with potential, you know, solutions, understand where you can support them. And then if it's something that continuously comes back to bite you, essentially, that's when you go back to, all right, well, here, I've got to cut my losses here. And to your point, fire as quickly as you hire, because it realistically, it does bleed into the rest of the team, right? Whether individuals are either taking away load from that one weak link because they just aren't up to snuff, or they're just getting negatively affected by that individual. If they're a negative individual who's always complaining and, you know, being just a negative point in the culture itself, that can also very heavily affect your team, one that's extremely difficult to recover from. So I think, you know, it is important to understand, because everyone works differently. You know, there's a certain thing where each employees are, they have different strengths and weaknesses, but also different aspirations, right? You have individuals who may be completely happy with where they are and do really good work. Then you have individuals who do really good work, but they also want to climb the ladder at the same time. So, you know, just because I guess an individual is happy and complacent with where they are and not always wanting to be, you know, the number one top star, doesn't mean that they don't necessarily belong in the team. And I guess that goes back to also what kind of culture you're trying to build mm-hmm. on your team as yeah. well.
Tony, have you ever had to let someone go? I mean, you've ran teams probably for a while. Like, is this something that you've had to encounter?
Yes. And it is probably one of the single most difficult aspects of my job in my entire career, having to let someone go. Because, you know, as Anish will tell you, I treat my entire team like family. You know, I put them in the same category as all my kids. And so I love each and every one of them. I want the best for them. I want them to really succeed. And I've always been that way. Having to let somebody...
Do you babysit their kids too?
No. I don't even babysit my own grandkids. Not that I wouldn't. It's just that the kids never.
I'm just kidding.
But no, the thing is with the teams I've led, it's always difficult because I want all of my teammates to succeed. I want them to be the best. I want them to achieve their highest potential. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm the one that made the decision to hire them. Now, in the past, I have had teams where I've inherited a team and not been the one that hired them. But at the end of the day, I want them to succeed. And so when they don't, I kind of take it a little bit personally. I'm like, okay, what could I have done better? What could I have done differently to help them? Was I not seeing something? Now, sometimes you just get an employee that just, I don't care what you do, they're not going to succeed because they don't want to. They just want to come in, do their thing for 8 hours and go home. They don't want to give of themselves. They just want to, you know, they want to put lug nuts on a car, you know? And in that case, you'll get them and go, you know, maybe you're not cut out for this job.
Yeah.
But you have to understand that. I mean, Gary, I'm sure you've met guys that are out there, you know, working day in and day out. And, you know, maybe they're better off just being a construction guy, going out and their job is to hang pipe in the air and not think about it. It's they got to get it from point A to point B to go open those hangers and they just got to go do. Whereas you got guys that want to look at it and lay out the job and map out the job and drive it. So you kind of have to look through that and figure out what you really need and figure out where people fit best. And sometimes you just got to look at it and go, yeah, you're just not a good fit for the team. Even yeah. After trying, you're just not a good fit.
Okay. Well, I got one more thing and then we'll end this off with this. And I'm going to add you, like you said, wisdom, perspective, humility, and courage. I'm going to add one more thing to that list. And that is putting yourself last. Sometimes you have to do that as a team leader or somebody that not just a team leader, but a leader in general, you have to put yourself last. And I'm going to give you an example of something I had to do on the weekend. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or anything, but this was just my complete instinct of what I had to do and seeing multiple futures in front of me. So my son plays soccer. He's plays travel soccer. So we travel around and stuff like that. He was at a tournament and he's been complaining that his heels are hurting him when he runs. And he goes on the field and he's walking and limping. And I'm like, dude, you got to run. Like, you can't be on the field and walk. You have to either go off if you're hurt or bear the pain and run, right? And he comes off the field at the end of the game. And I grabbed his shoes off his feet and I looked at his heels, no bruising, no nothing. And I pull his insoles out and they're like literally like flattened, right? He's got no cushion in his shoes and he's running on this hard ground and it's going into his heels and up the back of his legs. So instantly I ripped my insoles out of my shoes, grabbed a pair of scissors and I hit my insoles down to his size and put them in his shoes. Right. I took a loss and was uncomfortable for the day, right? Walking around with shoes with like a false bottom or like a plastic bottom so he could bear the pain or take some of that pain away or ease his pain in his next game. And it wasn't even a choice. Like it wasn't even like a, actually I was saying a choice, but it was just like an instinct. Yeah. You're getting my insoles and that's it. We're going forward. I will deal with whatever I have to deal with. So putting yourself last, I think is a very important trait at times being a leader. I'll start with you and then we'll end off with Tony.
Yeah, I think you ended it there perfectly with the at times, right? Because there are different situations that I feel like demand different things. For example, you know, if you are clearly more suited to a specific task or a specific act, it may make more sense for you to prioritize yourself in a situation just to make sure that the most efficient result is provided, right? I think as a leader, it is important to understand what the needs of your team are to be able to make those decisions, though, if that makes sense.
No, for sure. Tony, what do you think about putting yourself last as a team leader, like taking the brunt of something or staying late or being the one that maybe goes on the service call because your apprentice has their son's birthday party, even though they're on call? You know what? Hey, you know what? It's your son's birthday party or your daughter's birthday party, whatever. I'm going to take call for you if a call comes in during the time that you're at the party, like stuff like that, right?
Well, and if you remember, one of the things I said early on was humility. It's not about me. It's about my team. And sometimes that means that the team comes first and I come last and I get mine at the end. You know, because it's not about me. It's about my team succeeding. And if my team succeeds, then we all succeed. And so it's not about my needs. It's not about my wants. It's about doing what's right for the team. Now, yes, some days it's about what I need, you know, especially if it's, you know, depending on what it is that we're looking at, it may be what I need. But 99% of the time, it's about what the team as a whole needs and not just me.
Yeah, I think it is extremely important, though, taking ownership, right? So as a leader, if you're talking about putting yourself last, that's a big thing, right? You always want to make sure to take ownership. If it's a decision that you made or that your team has made in lieu of an action that you initially set forth, as a leader, you should always be taking ownership, right? No matter the outcome when it comes down to your team. I think placing blame is a very quick exemplification of a bad leader. I've had a couple in the past of where that's their first reaction, right? If it's a negative outcome or an outcome that they did not see, it's, well, this individual did X, Y, and Z instead of A, B, C, right? And so, yeah, taking ownership obviously is a big part of putting yourself last there, because it may not reflect the best on you, but, you know, it's
yeah. I remember being on a job one time. I got hurt and I fell off a ladder and like basically compound fracture, when my fingers, like the bone popped through the back of it and my hand was like messed up. But the boss at the time put me back on the job with two other guys and said, just go there and watch them. And I'm like, I can't be on the job and just watch. Like, I can't. It's like, what am I going to do? Sit in a chair and just start pointing at things? You guys, I couldn't do that. And one of them actually was brazing and he hit like a fusible plug. Tony, you might know what a fusible plug is, where the solder is inside of the plug. And it basically, if it gets hot, it releases a refrigerant charge. So he hit that with his torch. And when we went to pressure test, it was pissing out of there. Psst. It was like the fusible plug was gone. Like the solder was in there. And we needed a new one. And I had to call the boss and tell him, like, yeah, we can't pressurize this thing today because the fusible plug is gone. And he said, who did it? And I'm like, well, it doesn't matter who did it. It needs to be fixed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was my answer to him. I may have said something, I can't remember, but I was refusing in my brain to give up the name of the person that did it. So anyway, I want to end this off because I got to run soon and you guys have a busy day ahead of you as well. But I want to thank you guys for this. This was a good conversation and I think we got a lot of points out. There's bosses, do this, do that type thing. There's leaders that have all these traits that you mentioned, Tony. And I mean, it's something that we need to work on. Some people have these traits very early in their life. Like you can see these traits in some kids, some high school students. Like I was at my son's grade 8 graduation a little while back, and you could see that some of these kids that were up on stage getting awards or being the MCs of the show or the graduation, they had these traits already. And that's why they're getting awards, and that's why they were chosen to be the speaker of the award ceremony. it's very interesting how people are sometimes born with this stuff and other people have to work at it. It's very interesting to me. Anyway, guys, if you got one last thing to say, throw it in now and we'll end this off. Tony, what do you think?
Being a leader takes practice and patience. Don't rush it. And it's like anything else that we do in life, you got to practice. And if you really want to be that stand above, head and shoulders above everybody else as a leader, you got to practice at it. You got to work at it because it's not going to happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. Anish.
Yeah, I think that's the big one, right? Practice. It's being a leader, being a good leader is just, it's a muscle that needs to be trained. The big thing that obviously we didn't touch today, which I think a lot of really separates good leaders from bad leaders and really works with everything in your life, is just listen more than you speak a lot of times and don't have an ego about it, right? There are, just because you're listening doesn't mean you're actually taking in. And I think that's a big differentiator too, which we didn't really get to touch on today, but yeah. Thanks for the conversation.
Thank you very much. No, very much Anish, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks guys. And I will one more word, and that word is patience, and that the audience can sit and reminisce about patience, because patience is another big trait that a leader must have. Guys, thank you very much for this.
You're most welcome, Gary. As always, it's fun. We always have great conversations and look forward to the next one.
Cheers, guys.
See you, man. Yep.
Take care.
All right. So after listening to that, first of all, you need to decide, do you want to be a leader or do you just want to be somebody that is happy with your situation at the moment? Some people are, and that's just fine. Some people want more than their situation. Some people want to lead because they get fulfillment out of that. They get fulfillment by serving and going into the trenches and being part of the entire thing from top to bottom. I like that myself, right? I will not be opposed to pick up a broom while the apprentice is standing right beside me if they're already busy doing something else. I will not hesitate to pick up a broom and start sweeping. Okay? That's what I think leaders should be doing, is going into the trenches with their team and doing the things they ask of their team themselves, right? From top to bottom, guys, a leader is someone that just gets into the trenches, leads by example, and is respected by others because they give respect to others, right? Very important. That's a very important phrase there. Respect is earned. It's not given. So if you want to be a leader, guys, and you feel you're on the cusp, maybe you got to work on some stuff, and that's totally fine. Leadership sometimes is built. It's not bred into you. It's built into you. And there's ways where you can build leadership in a person, no problem, if they want to be that person. Anyway, guys, I don't want to ramble on. I'm out. Happy HVACing.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Follow HVAC Know-It-All on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, and anywhere else Gary feels like popping up. This has been a Two Smokes and a Coffee production.